This morning, we continue our journey through the book of Ephesians. For those of you who may haven't been here, or this is your first time this morning, we are working our way through the book of Ephesians. We're, into our second or third week, I guess. And God has already been just amazing. Some of the services we've had in the last couple weeks, I haven't been to them, but I've listened to them and I've heard the stories. And this morning, verses 4 to 6 in Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to follow along. For some of you, that's your iPhone. I guess that's okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I start in verse 3. Verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. While I was preparing over the last 2 weeks, I couldn't get past these two words. In love. Did you see him? End of verse 5. In love. Every time I go back to read chapter 1, Lord, what have you got for us this Sunday? There's so much in here. In love. In love. In love. In love. God was wanting to make sure that as we start this journey through Ephesians, that we know, or that we are reminded at the start, that he is love, and all he does in relationship with us is out of love for us. God is love. There is nothing about him that is not love, that does not come from love, that is not motivated by love. And everything he does in relationship with you is done in love. He created us in love. He sent Jesus in love. We've heard the scripture, I think, twice already this morning. For God so loved the world he sent. Why did he send Jesus? Because he loves that which he created. He reveals himself to us in love. He died for us in love. He arose in love. He disciplines us in love. He transforms us into the image of Christ in love. He speaks the truth to us in love. And the one thing that I believe we most need to hear today, as we are in this journey of Ephesians, is that he matures us in love. Kind of what's been the catchphrase for us as we've begun? Christ-like maturity. God has it on his heart, and he's speaking to us as a congregation that he wants to bring forth maturity in our lives. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Yvette shared that God was telling us it's time to grow up. Do you remember that? How many of you were here? God said, it's time to grow up. And he said, and Yvette said, it's not an optional extra. He's saying it's time to grow up. And she invited us on that morning to stand up as a testimony before God the Father and before one another to say that we would allow God to chisel away at our lives and grow us and mature us to be more like Jesus. How many of you stood on that day? You said, yes, Lord, I give you permission to chisel away at my life and to make me more like Jesus. Last week, Pastor Paul mentioned the verse in Ephesians that really is at the heart of this journey for us. Ephesians chapter 4 says, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become, say it together, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I remember Paul speaking about that and talking about the fact that God doesn't want you to lack anything. God's desire is that we will mature and not lack anything. He wants to work in us the full measure of Christ. He wants us to be mature. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a discussion? Have you ever said it yourself? Have you ever been on the receiving side of something like, you just need to grow up? Yep. Kids, yep, you just need to grow up. Anybody? You raise your hand. Come on, this is an interactive service today. I need your help. All right, so you've either said it or it's been said to you at some time. You just need, what are we saying when we say that? When I say that to another adult, what am I saying? Stop acting like a kid. You're acting like a kid. Grow up. So, what is God saying to us when he says it's time to grow up? Had you thought about that? It's one thing to hear God say it's time to grow up. It's another thing to actually think about what God's saying there. He's actually saying there's some areas of your life that you're actually acting like a child, and it's time to grow up. There's actually some areas of your life that you're living in immaturity and you need to mature. That's what the Father is saying to us. And, you know, if we're honest, it's not really the kind of thing you want God to have to say to you, is it? Candace, you need to grow up. I don't want to hear that. Really? I don't know, for some of you, you're young in the faith, and you're probably putting up your hand and saying, yes, you know what, I know I need to grow up. I know I'm immature. I've just started this journey, and I'm not, but there's a lot of us in here who've been on this journey a long time. And still God is saying to us collectively, it's time to grow up. You're actually acting like children. And you're a bit immature. Whew. That's really humbling. And you know, that's why it's so important that we hear what's on God's heart today. Everything he does and everything he says to us, and everything he allows in our lives is in love. It began to make sense to me why I couldn't not read this chapter without those words just leaping off the page to me. Candace, they need to know that everything I'm doing and everything I'm about to do in answer to their prayer to mature them, they need to know I'm doing it in love. Because, you know, things are going to happen. Your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is being tested. Your attitudes are going to be challenged. those that need to be changed. Those responses that you make that aren't Christ-like. The things that are the junk on the inside, they are going to start to come out in situations and ways that may even surprise you. Like, where did that come from? So that's what happens when God starts chiseling. We encounter situations that we did not expect. Things happen in our lives that we weren't planning for. Relationships break down. Things happen. Arguments. All of these things. When we give permission for God to go to work on us, He does, but He does it in love. I want you to think with me about the stories of Jesus. When you think about Jesus doing things in love, what stories come to mind? Okay, so a widow has her young son die, the only man in the family. Jesus comes along. He touches that casket, and he says, "Get up." And the boy comes to life, and he gives him back to his mother. Jesus' love in action. What other stories do you think of? Okay, Lazarus, so another resurrection. Okay, when he feeds the 5,000, he looks over the crowd, and he has compassion on them. And he feeds all of them and all of their family, 20,000 people, with just a few fish and bread. Okay, the woman caught in adultery. So I don't know where the man was, but they only brought the woman to him. And she's obviously guilty. And Jesus says at the end of the story, "Hey, where is everyone who condemns you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Wow, the love of God through Jesus Christ, they're amazing. Luke, he turned the water into wine. So people were getting a little thirsty. They needed a little more wine. He demonstrated his love there. You know, it was an important thing that at this wedding, that those that were putting it on, it would be a bit embarrassing because they didn't have enough wine. So out of his love for this new couple that was getting married, he provided wine. What else? Sorry? Prodigal son. Okay. The father who welcomes the son that had wandered far away, wasted all of his money. When he sees him, he runs towards him. He embraces him. He kisses him and he restores him. I see that hand back there. Okay, so when Jesus delivers people from demons, wow, I love you so much, I want to get the devil out of you and my presence of life and love into you. Okay, so there's the man who gets healed, his friends lower him through the roof, and Jesus heals him. And he also forgives him of his sins. I want to share with you the one story that always comes to my mind when I think about Jesus having an encounter with someone and sharing his love and just revealing his love. And to me, it's a very odd one. I don't know why this story always comes to my mind first. But it always does. And it's a bit of a sad story. And it messes me up. I want to invite you to close your eyes and just use this time to imagine the story while I'm telling it. A man runs up to Jesus and he falls at Jesus' feet. And he looks up at him and he says, "Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? God alone is good. No one is good except God." "Well, you know the commandments," he said. "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false testimony. Do not defraud your neighbor, and honor your mother and father." Oh, and the man says back to him, "Teacher, all of these I have obeyed since I was a little boy." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me." And the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Did you see it? Did you hear it? Jesus looked at him and loved him. He wasn't even saved yet. Jesus loved him. He wasn't even part of the kingdom of God yet. Jesus loved him. Everything God does, he does because he is love, and he does it in love. Including our maturity. Has anyone ever been in a season of your life where, or just maybe a moment in time, where you thought or you believed that God must not love me, or just that he doesn't love me? Anyone ever thought or believed in a moment or over a season of your life that God doesn't love me, either because of something I have done in the past, and so you don't believe God can love you, or something that's going on right now in your life that is happening, that you're doing, that you're a part of, that God couldn't love me? Anyone like that? Raise your hand. You've ever had a time like that in your life where you say, "God couldn't love me." Anybody willing to share? Just real quickly, what was going on there? What was going on in your mind? Why did you think God didn't love you? Just right there, that's fine. What? All right. So, walked away from God. Is it true that God doesn't love us anymore when we walk away from him? No. It is a lie. Because God is love. He can't stop loving you. Anyone else? a time where you just believed, God doesn't love me. He can't love me. It's not possible. What was going on? Was it because something you did? You don't have to tell us what it was. It was just be general. Say, I did something and I knew he didn't love me. Anyone? Okay, just shout it out. All right, so things happen to us. People do things to us. And as a result, we begin to believe a lie. That God doesn't love us. He must not love us because it doesn't seem like he was there. Where was he? As I was preparing for this sermon, the Lord reminded me and those words in love, in love, in love, and he took me back to my early 20s. And I was on a mission trip in Alabama, in the South, where they talk, you know, just really, really strong accents like this, and you really have to pay close attention to understand what they're saying. And we, as a team, there were three of us, and we were taken to this home where they were taking in women who had been in difficult situations in their lives, all different kinds of situations, and they were getting them back up on their feet again. And this one day, we sat around this table, and the leader took out a box, and in this box were a bunch of questions, and we each had to take question out of the box, read it out loud, and answer it. And some of the questions were really lighthearted, and my question was, you know, what's your favorite thing to eat? And, you know, I said pizza, and so we're going around, and we come to the last lady, and she's sitting directly across the table from me, and her name was Louise. Louise was about, she was 49 years old, and she already had gray hair, and She took out her question from the box, and she just stared at it for a moment. She wasn't reading it out loud, and finally the leader encouraged her, you know, what's your question say? And she said, she read it, and she said, name a time in which you have felt loved. And she just stared at this piece of paper. And the leader was encouraging her to respond, and there was silence. And finally, Louise says, I can't think of a time. And of course, the people around her were like, oh, Louise, I love you. And the leader was like, oh, Louise, we love you. And she repeated those words. I can't think of a time. And I was sitting across the table from this woman, completely wrecked on the inside. I couldn't believe it because I grew up knowing nothing but love in my life. From the very beginning, I have known the love of a family and I have known the love of my God. And I couldn't grasp the reality that someone across the table from me had never known love in their lives. And I just began to weep. And I walked away from that encounter, and I just knew we had to do something for this lady before we left, and we were only there a few days, but we found out it was her 50th birthday in 2 days, and so we gave a surprise birthday party for her. And I can remember waiting there in the house, and they were like late and really late and late, and we're just waiting, you know, ready to pop out and say happy birthday. And it just seemed forever before it happened. And finally she came and we gave her the birthday. And as we were leaving, she walked up to me and she said, "I felt loved today." The reality was of this woman, though, that the love of God was there all the time. It was actually the love of God that brought her to that place. It was the love of God that had preserved her life, because she was a woman that had experienced abuse from a father, and her husband had taken a knife and cut her from the throat down the middle of her body. And that's why she was there, to get away from him. But even in all of that, she soon became to discover that God was real and that he had orchestrated this moment to bring her to himself and to restore her life. By the end of that summer, I heard the testimony that she had given her heart to the Lord. And he had just begun to give her a job and all kinds of things. But it is true. It is sometimes difficult to believe. But what God wants us to hear today and to know is that everything he is and everything he does is in love. And he can take the wickedness and the pain of this world and that which is done to us and even what we do to others, and he can turn it around because of his love and in his love. God is love. And he looks at his creation and he loves it. Every creature, every man, woman, and child, everyone sitting in this room today, before you ever say yes or no to him, he's looking at you and loving you. He is looking at your family members today who don't know him, and he is loving them. He is looking at your coworkers today that don't know Jesus and that drive you up a wall, and he is loving them. He is looking at your neighbors who play their music loud or are just off, you know, in never land. I don't know what. He's looking at them and he's loving them. Because God is love. And everything he does in relationship with us is done in love. Jesus looked at that man I told you the story about, and he loved him. And he speaks the truth in love to that man, and it reveals to him what is lacking in his life. He was obeying all of the rules, or most of the rules, except for one, which actually happened to be the most important one. Because he was obeying all of these commands, 6 of the 10 of the commandments, but he actually wasn't doing the first commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He lacked. He was doing all these good things according to the law, but he wasn't loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind. His response to Jesus revealed that he actually loved his money and his possessions more than he loved God. Jesus loves us so much that he will always speak the truth to us and tell us what is lacking in our lives. In love, I believe God comes to us this morning. And in this season of Ephesians, in this season of desire to grow us and to mature us, he comes to us in this season to speak to us and reveal to us what is lacking in our lives. Why does he want us to know what we're lacking? Number one, because he loves us. And number two, he doesn't want us to lack anything. He doesn't want us to lack anything of his goodness, of his presence, of his power in our lives. He wants us to look more like Jesus all the time. He wants us to sound like Jesus all much more than we do now. He wants us to live like Jesus more than we're living like him right now. He wants us to respond to people like Jesus did and be able to look at them and love them. The more mature we are, the more we have of God. Eh? The more mature we are, the more we have of God. The more wisdom, the more love, the more perspective from heaven, the more peace, more of everything that is eternal when we step into maturity. That's what God wants for us. So he's speaking to us in love, saying, I want to tell you what you're lacking. For some of us here today, or maybe for someone today, this man in the story is you. And it's actually a matter of life and death. This was a life and death matter for him because he wasn't in the kingdom of God. What he was lacking was actually keeping him from entering into eternal life and having a relationship with God. And there's actually something in your life that you're not willing to let go of or leave or give up in order to follow Jesus. You may be doing good things and even following some of the commandments of God, but the reality is you aren't really loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He doesn't have first priority in your life. You lack that loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if that's you today, I think you already know this, but Jesus is looking at you. And he's loving you. The Spirit of God has been highlighting it to you. You know what it is. He's speaking the truth to you. He's showing you the one thing you lack that's going to keep you from eternity with him and entering the kingdom of God. And you now have the same choice as this man did in the story. You can either walk away from Jesus sad, or you can stay there at his feet and begin repenting and asking for forgiveness and begin declaring your love for him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Willing to give up everything and anything to actually follow him. I imagine for most of us here today, though, God is wanting to reveal what is lacking in our lives in regards to maturity. There are things that we are lacking that are keeping us from being more like Jesus, sounding more like him, acting more like him, living more like him. And God may actually already be revealing it to you. Or he may reveal it to you in the next few minutes. But the important thing for each of us is that we're willing to say to God, God, show me what's lacking. Show me what's lacking and he will show you. So what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to invite you to just bow your head and close your eyes. Can I have the keyboard to come and just play for a bit? Thanks. And I just want to invite you to just take a few minutes to listen to the Lord. And as the music is playing, if you need prayer in regard to anything God reveals to you that you are lacking, or maybe you just need to hear someone face to face say to you, God loves you, and have a fresh revelation. Maybe God's revealing an area of your maturity that He knows you are lacking in, and you just want to get prayer for that. You just want to have that opportunity for someone to stand in agreement with you and pray for you for the release of that and the growth of that in your life. Maybe you're here today and you're like that man in the story. And Jesus is actually pointing out to you, there's one thing that you lack that is keeping you from actually entering into the kingdom of God and having eternal life. And you need to deal with that today. If any of those things relate to you, we just simply want to pray with you. We want to be the presence of Jesus that is standing up front and be able to look at you in love and just pray for you and bless you and step into that journey with you, to come before the throne of God with boldness and confidence together, because He says that we'll find grace and mercy in that place. So if you would like to come, please come. Just going to play this song. I was looking for it earlier. I couldn't find my phone. Sorry. But this song is called This Love. And again, I just invite you to use this time. just to respond. Engage with the Lord right now. Use this time, these moments just between you and Him. Before we go back out into the responsibilities of our lives, to bask in the love of God. Where we have to respond to those around us. Before we get into conversations with others.
To really walk with you. To really walk with you.
How is your love relationship with God today? Is He really the one that you love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Walk with you. To be with you.
Do you need to just know a fresh revelation of His love and for that to be prayed over you today? Are you feeling dry and empty? You need His love to just wash you.
Have my heart open to know you every day.
Just as people come, can I ask the prayer ministry team to come and pray with them?
Is an everyday kind of love. Every morning I'm in it. This love is an everyday kind of love. Every evening I'm in it. Every evening I'm in it. This love. This love is an everyday kind of love. Every morning I'm in here. This love is an everyday kind of love. Every evening I'm in here. This love doesn't leave me all alone, and it never forgets its own. This love won't leave me, 'cause my past is bad.
There shouldn't be anyone in this place today that is thinking that this message is not for them. No matter where you are in your journey with God, His message to you today is He's looking at you this day, afresh, this moment in love. And there are things, spiritual blessings He wants to release. There's things that are lacking that He wants to let you know about.
In love. Is every moment, every day, always. Love is every moment, every day, always, always, always.
Just receive His love today.
This love.
Let Him pour His love into your heart afresh by His Holy Spirit.
Is an everyday kind of love.
Ask Him for His love.
Every morning I'm in it.
Ask Him for more.
This love is an everyday kind of love. Every evening I'm in it. Oh, and this love never leaves you to walk a road alone. Oh, His voice calls out above the north. Oh, and this love doesn't care if you don't think you can cut it. Oh, He takes you in and He lifts you up and He gives you faith so you can lift your head.
like anything you've ever known. Oh, it doesn't make sense. This love.
You got a little card when you came in this morning. I want to ask you to just get with someone right now, just quietly, because this is a prayer, and I want you to just pray with another person, and I want you to pray this prayer over the other person. The blanks are there so that you can put that person's name in there. This is a prayer, forgot to write it on there, from Ephesians chapter 3. And it seemed appropriate as we're going through this book that we just start praying this prayer of love over one another, over our families. Every day is what I want to ask you to do. Take this home. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your fridge. And every day start praying and declaring this prayer over one another. Just take a moment to do that with someone sitting next to you. Does anyone need somebody to pray the prayer with? Raise your hand. Anybody covered? You can just let that keep playing, guys. That's fine. When you're done, I want to encourage you to look at one another and tell them God loves them. Look at them and tell them God loves you. Be Jesus to them right now. Will you just stand with me? And we're going to close together. When we were in pre-service prayer today, and we were praying for love, we were praying about the love of God being revealed and released, and we were actually thanking God for how He had demonstrated His love to us, and praying that how we'd encountered the love of God would be released over others this morning. And my prayer and my reality is that I have never known a time when God, I never had those times of doubt, of believing that God didn't love me. I never had a time like that. And so that's what I released today. That's what I prayed for today. That you, from this moment on, would never have a doubt, that the questions and the doubts would be shattered, and that you would know that you know that you know that God loves you. That He is love, and He loves you, and everything He does is in love. And while we were praying that, CJ just had a bit of a revelation, and I asked her to just share that with us in closing, and then we'll pray together and go.
My understanding of the Lord and what He'd done was, I've always praised His faithfulness, the way He provides for me, that He's my joy when I'm sad, that He's my strength when I'm weak, all of those things. Because they're His character, and it's in His word, and He cannot lie. He has to, His word, that's what it is. But under that, His main thing is love, and because He loves, He does all those other things. But I didn't know God did that because He loved me. And one of the things we had in Hub a couple of weeks ago was a scripture. I can't remember it now, but the last sentence of it was that He loved us the same as He loved Jesus. And that unsettled me a bit, because I didn't feel that that was, I was worthy of that. And so it's been this whole process. And then this morning when Pastor Candace shared, those were the things that I realised, that I love God because of His faithfulness, because of His generosity. And I was aware of that, but not because that came from His love for me. And that's, yeah, thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank You today. Father, I thank You for Your great love. I thank You that all those parts of Your character, that Your faithfulness, Your generosity, Your healing, Your joy, Your strength, all those things, Father, that You give us. You give us because You are love. And Father, I thank You for that revelation in my life. And Father, I pray that that is released afresh over each and every person here today. That no matter how unworthy we are, now how much we sin, whether we're walking close with You or not, Father, we leave this place knowing that You love us. You love us, Father, and nothing we can do can turn that love away. So, Father, I thank You for that. I pray that You bless my brothers and sisters today and those here that might not know You with a real understanding of Your great love, so great that You gave Your only Son. Lord, I have one son, and there's no way I would send him to the cross. I couldn't, but You did. And Father, I thank You for the reality of who Jesus is and what He did and Your great love for us. I thank You, Father, in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.
And all God's people said, amen. Thank You for Your love, Lord. Coffee and tea are back in the corner. Encourage you to enjoy some fellowship.